Good morning and welcome to South Shore Senior News Radio on WATD, the program to help active boomers and seniors age successfully and enjoy themselves while doing it. Each week we're brought to you through the generous sponsorship of our partners. The first part of our show is brought to you by the Elder Law Office of Attorney Judith M. Flynn. A member of the National Academy of Elder Law Attorneys, Attorney Flynn is devoted solely to elder and disability law and estate planning. Located in Rockland, Judy works with elders and their families to protect their hard-earned assets and ensure quality care. Call her today to schedule your legal checkup at 781-681-6638. Or visit our firm's website at thelegalcheckup.com. That's thelegalcheckup.com. Now, here's your host, Greg Farrell.
Oh, good morning and welcome to South Shore Senior News Radio. And our guest is coughing already, but it's always fun to welcome back elder law attorney Judith M. Flynn.
Good morning, Greg.
Good morning, Judy. And this morning we're actually having quite an interesting conversation, I think. It's something that a lot of people don't think about, and it's what happens later in life if people go through a divorce, or even if they're thinking of getting remarried later in life. So you have some interesting insights on elder care planning and what people should do. And it's actually one of the cover stories as part of a special report we did on latter-day divorce or remarriage in the February issue of South Shore Senior News. And the name of your column was Till Death Do Us Part or So One of Us Needs a Nursing Home Care, which I thought was kind of a very creative beauty.
Yes, well, unfortunately, it's accurate.
Yeah, no, it was. It's. I think we're going to open, we'll give some of our listeners a lot of food for thought this morning. So first, tell us a little bit about yourself. I'm not even going to try anymore. It's just
You've given up.
Yeah.
Well, I practice exclusively in the area of elder law and disability law. Primary offices in Rockland. I've got satellite offices in Hingham and Mansfield by appointment only.
Mm-hmm.
Member of the board of directors of, this is where you usually butcher it, Greg, the
yes.
Mass chapter of the National Academy of Elder Law Attorneys.
Right.
They do a lot of great work on behalf of the seniors of the Commonwealth. And currently serving as president of the Massachusetts Guardianship Association, which we've talked a little bit about here.
It sounds like a very important organization. All right. So the February issue, South Shore Senior News, we're looking at latter years divorce and or remarriage issues.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that you were talking about in the article is things that people should consider if they're going to get remarried later in life, so that maybe they've never been married or they've been divorced or whatever it might be. Give us just an insight into what they should be thinking about if they take that path and walk down the aisle.
Well, it came up in the cover story more as a result of a couple who had been divorced and the consequences they didn't realize. And so the message really from the column, whether you're considering getting married or divorced, you really need to consult with an elder law attorney to see how the marriage or divorce is going to impact your eligibility for potential public benefits later, such as nursing home mass health coverage.
Mm-hmm.
But also to revise estate planning documents and disability documents like the healthcare proxy power of attorney, which typically name the spouse, of course.
Right.
So those things need to be updated.
Right.
And
you could do all of that. And what's interesting about it is I think people don't – there's a couple of considerations with people who are getting married or remarried at a latter age, and that's one is the what happens with the alimony payments.
Mm-hmm.
And the other is just the all the assets that are involved in the marriage.
Right. So if one member of a married couple needs nursing home care and we're trying to get MassHealth eligibility to pay for that care, MassHealth will count all of the marital assets. It doesn't matter, you know, where they came from. So husband and wife, all the assets are counted. That's something anybody looking to get remarried or married later in life needs to be aware of.
Right.
And particularly assess the health of the spouse. It's not very romantic, but it's something that they really need to go in eyes wide open.
Right. That's for their own protection, really.
It is. And
for the protection of both people.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely. And in this case, this couple was divorced but happily back together but not married for many, many years. Husband needed nursing home care and came in to me to say, I need to, you know, I want to protect Betty, you know, make sure she's taken care of.
Right.
If they were still married, we could protect the entire estate, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
But those community spouse protections that are provided, they they won't allow that for them, even though they've been residing together for many years, even though they used to be married.
They were married and they got divorced.
They got
divorced. The official divorce decree and all that type
exactly.
of stuff. Which is quite interesting. When we get into the latter in the show here, you're going to talk about how you use that divorce decree to kind of go back and kind of help them out.
Right.
Yeah.
We were lucky. We were lucky we could fall back on that.
I think what the most interesting part of your column and your suggestions was, and I don't think many people think about this, and we're going to take it from the divorce angle right now, is that if they're going into a divorce, they work with a divorce attorney because they're specialized, they know all the laws, and the laws there are changing quite a bit and things like that. But what your recommendation is to actually, once the divorce decree, well, I don't know if it's a settlement proposal or whatever it's called, is put together, and before you go in to see the judge for the final time, they really should come and see an elder law attorney.
They should. I don't know if we have time before the break, but the way it worked...
A couple of seconds here,
Divorce attorneys, I would suggest, also should be, when they have a senior client, be consulting with an elder law attorney. You know, even if the elder doesn't reach out, the divorce attorney should know enough to get this reviewed to have an elder law perspective.
That's interesting, and I don't know. I bet a lot of people have never thought of that. So what age would you consider important for a divorce attorney to reach out to an elder law attorney and say, this is what I'm proposing to my client, what do you think?
You know, I don't
50,
think it's
55,
so...
55, 60?
You know... 50, 55, 60, any of those. And I think you also have to factor in the health, the circumstances, you know. Does it look like somebody may need care down the road? If there's already an indication, you really, really, even if it's age 50, should get that consultation.
Okay. All right. That's interesting. All right. When we come back, you're going to actually walk us through the story of Betty, and I think you called him John or something.
We always disguise the names.
And kind of take us through that scenario because it's quite fascinating. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Step into the future with Braintree Rehabilitation Hospital. Robotics and functional electrical stimulation are now being used for rehabilitation with patients who have experienced a stroke, brain injury, spinal cord injury, multiple sclerosis, or other neurologic disorder. Call us today, 781-348-2107, and find out how the cutting-edge rehab technology at Braintree Rehab may benefit you. That's 781-348-2107, and take the step that may change your life.
And welcome back. We are talking with elder law attorney Judith M. Flynn, and we are talking about considerations that must be made and preparation that must be taken if someone's planning a divorce in their senior years, 50, 55, 60, wherever it might be, and later, and also things they could consider if they're getting remarried in the later years of their life. So, Judy, you're going to take us through your February column because it's quite an interesting story. Oh, I said interesting again. Sorry, Judy. it is. It's a unique look at this situation that people are going through. So take us through the story.
Okay. So John and Betty, both in their 70s, early 70s at this point, they had been married for many years. They got divorced, but remained very good friends. They actually ended up, they're closer than any married couple I know. They get along wonderful. They live together, but they never remarried. They live as if they're married, but they're not remarried.
Any particular reason they didn't get married, or they just didn't feel like doing it?
Yeah, but I don't want to go into the personal details.
Okay. All right.
There are many reasons why people, it might not be the right personal decision.
Mm-hmm.
So John, it was clear, has some chronic illnesses, and it's likely he would need MassHealth nursing home coverage within 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about the five-year look-back. So if he transfers assets or makes any gifts, there will be a penalty as a result.
Right. Let's refresh our listeners' memory about the five-year look-back period just to qualify for MassHealth.
Sure. Yep. If you file an application for MassHealth nursing home benefits, MassHealth will look back 5 years at all transfers, all deposits, all withdrawals, all, you know. So they will tally up the amount of any transfers for less than fair market value. Even if it's something you don't consider a gift, if you can't prove fair market value, they've penalized things like a $100 wedding gift.
Hmm.
It's really punitive. So they will tally up all transfers less than fair market value, and they will impose a penalty of coverage for a certain period based on how much that was. Excuse me. So John, in this case, we could, if they were married, John could, this interspousal transfers are allowed. He could have transferred all the assets to Betty. If she had more than the $109,560 that MassHealth would allow her to keep.
$109,000.
Yep. Yeah, $109,000. Then we could annuitize that for her benefit. thereby protecting the entire estate.
Right.
But because they're not married, he can't transfer assets to Betty any more than he can transfer them to you or I.
And he wants to transfer the assets to Betty to reach what goal?
Rather than just spending down what he has left on the nursing home, he wants to make sure Betty is the community partner
right.
is secure for her future.
That's because he can only have $2,000 or less in assets, correct?
Right.
To qualify for mass
Once
help.
He's in
okay.
the institution. The institutionalized
yep.
spouse can only have $2,000.
Right.
Betty is the community, not spouse.
Yeah.
You know, so transfers would be considered a gift because it's not interspousal. They're no longer married.
Right.
So we were very lucky in this case. Oh, the other part that's really important. Under the divorce decree of many years earlier, John pays Betty $1,550 a month for alimony.
Okay.
She needs that to get by. She
yep.
she needs that. If he applied for MassHealth nursing home coverage, his income must be contributed to the nursing home every month.
Mm-hmm.
They allow very few deductions. One is $72.80 for a personal needs allowance. Yeah. Whoop it up.
Wow.
Yeah. Excuse me. So things like the hair salon, whatever.
Yep.
If he had a medical premium of, say, $100 for medics or something, that's allowed.
Okay.
Beyond that, that's about it. So there is no deduction for the alimony payment to Betty, even though it's court ordered. So luckily,
what would happen there? You know, so if you weren't able to come up with a creative solution that we're going to discuss here
mm-hmm.
To save them, what would happen there if he doesn't have the money to pay his alimony and has to pay the nursing home? Who wins there?
Well,
it's certainly not John.
Betty could. No, John will have his coverage, but Betty's the one that's losing.
Okay.
Okay.
So would he be penalized for? I guess he would be in a nursing home, so nothing could really happen to him anyway. But would he?
Oh, sure. They could discharge if we didn't do it properly.
Right. Right. I know, but you know, but the fact that he's not paying his alimony.
No, that's a claim Betty could take up with the court.
Right.
But they can't get blood from a stone.
Right. Okay. I see. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. When he
yeah.
when he can't get the allowance and he's in a nursing home, that's going to be modified.
Okay.
So luckily, we were able to use the divorce decree,
yep.
which spelled out the rights of each party and that John had this obligation to pay Betty $1,550 a month for life.
Yeah.
All right,
we're going to stop you right there because
okay.
this is where it gets good because this is how you come up with the solution.
Okay.
And we need to go to break. So let's go to break. When we come back, we'll talk about how you use that divorce decree and we're able to really help these folks out. So
mm-hmm.
stay tuned.
Okay.
Call the Elder Law Office of Judith M. Flynn to schedule a legal checkup. Judy's practice is devoted solely to elder and disability law and estate planning. She'll do a thorough assessment of your personal situation and develop a comprehensive plan that addresses all of your elder law needs. Don't lose your hard-earned assets to the cost of long-term care. Take greater control of your future. Schedule a legal checkup today. Call Elder Law Attorney Judy Flynn at 781-681-6638.
This is Nate Murray, President of Visiting Angels of the South Shore. Join us on Saturday, April 2nd for the second annual Dancing with the Angels. This fantastic benefit event will take place at the Terrell Room in Quincy. There will be hors d'oeuvres, lively dancing, and music provided by the 14-piece White Heat Swing Orchestra. There will also be a dancing competition featuring the Visiting Angels staff doing Latin dancing this year. Last year, we raised $15,000 for South Shore Elder Services and Old Colony Elder Services Special Needs Fund. This year, our goal is $20,000. To purchase your ticket, visit dancingwithvisitingangels.com. Tickets are $50 apiece. And if your business would like to be a corporate sponsor, please contact us at the website or call us 781-834-6355. This will be the social event of the season, the second annual Dancing with the Angels, Saturday evening, April 2nd, from 6:30 to 11.
The second half of our show is brought to you by Braintree Rehabilitation Hospital. For 35 years, Braintree Rehabilitation Hospital has been a leader of rehabilitation. The options for rehabilitation can be confusing. Braintree Rehabilitation Hospital offers a higher intensity of therapy, the most innovative and advanced technology, and a specialized staff of physicians, nurses, and therapists dedicated to your care. Recent recipient of the Joint Commission's Gold Seal of Approval for Stroke Care, Braintree Rehabilitation Hospital provides quality rehabilitation services right here on the South Shore. Call 781-348-2500 to find out more. That's 781-348-2500.
Now, back to the host of South Shore Senior News Radio. Here's Greg Farrell.
All right. Welcome back. We are talking to Elda Law attorney Judith M. Flynn. And we're talking about situations people can find themselves in the later years in life if they're either getting divorced or thinking about getting remarried. And something happens, and one of them might need nursing home care.
Mm-hmm.
So, Judy, we've gone through this scenario. You had a couple that came in. They were married for a long time. They had gotten divorced. They found their way back together. And all of a sudden, John, the male partner in this group, needs to go into a nursing home environment. And you are able to address this situation by looking back at the divorce decree.
Mm-hmm.
Walk us through that.
So the key, as we mentioned, with transfers, disqualifying transfers, if it's not a transfer for fair market value, there will be a penalty imposed.
Mm-hmm.
So the key here was to allow John to transfer assets to Betty. He can't do that as the spouse. There's no interspousal transfer allowed there.
Right, because they're not married.
So based on the divorce decree of $1,550 a month that he was obligated under court order to pay.
Of alimony.
We looked at the Social Security actuarial tables, which that's what MassHelp uses. So they, you know, you're looking at, we'll say, for a female of 73 years old or whatever the case may be,
mm-hmm.
we'll give you a number of years and months that her life expectancy is. A little bit morbid, but that's how we do it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Got her life expectancy. Divided by 12 for the number of months times 1550, we came up with the sum that she could he could transfer to Betty, and that was a fair market value transfer. There was consideration on both sides. It wasn't a gift because she's releasing him from his obligation under the decree to pay monthly alimony of 1550.
Right.
He's just paying the whole thing up front.
In one lump sum.
So we were they were lucky in this case, but you know the lesson there is that you really need to think about this, the better solution. Well, they got divorced many years previously.
Yep.
For anybody looking at this later in life, they want the divorce decree potential. It's best if they seek a lump sum payment of alimony, I think, rather than monthly obligation, because later in life, the possibility that the spouse will be unable to pay the monthly obligation because of either disability or death.
Right.
Increases.
Hmm.
So you want to get that payment up front to the extent that's possible.
And the court allows that.
Sure.
The court will look at that and say, yeah, that's a good idea because you're out a certain age and we think that, you know, this is okay, and they'll approve the divorce and move forward like that.
Yeah. I mean, I think anything that the parties can come to agreement on, or, you know, to the extent the court makes the decision that it's reasonable and it's not penalizing one party over the other.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, you can't take all of the assets the male has to give the female a lump sum settlement, but you have to try to work within what they've got to get the best settlement for both parties.
Yep.
And that's a consideration that divorce attorneys need to be aware of, and clients going through this need to be aware that that's an issue they need to consider.
Hmm. So it almost sounds to me like the people in that position need to see both people.
Absolutely.
An elder law attorney as well as their divorce attorney, if their divorce attorney doesn't understand everything going on. They probably wouldn't.
And they wouldn't.
Just as
I don't understand everything about divorce, it would be malpractice for me to advise in divorce, you know. So you have to consult with a good divorce attorney. And they really should, divorce attorneys should consider, you know, building a relationship with an elder law attorney that they can run these agreements by.
Yeah. Now, on the brighter side of things, and now that we've talked about this difficult situation, an older couple finds love at a later year, later part of their life.
Mm-hmm.
There's some important considerations there as well, right?
That's right. Just as we've been talking about John and Betty, I mean, there are community spouse protections, but by the same token, if you're entering a relationship where the potential spouse, it's pretty clear they're going to need care in the near future,
mm-hmm.
you have to be aware that your assets will be fully countable on their application. Excuse me, for benefits.
Uh-huh.
So is that the smartest move to combine assets at that point by getting married?
Is if they want to get married because they believe in the union and all that type of thing, is there a way for them to get married and keep their assets separate?
I have had approval in a case where clients came to me. They had a prenuptial agreement. That would be critical in such a case.
Yep.
And they carried out, according to the terms of the agreement, they always kept their assets and income separate. It's all about the verifications you would have to show down the road. So if the intent of the parties and the agreement of the parties was to keep everything separate, you have a stronger argument. That doesn't mean you wouldn't have to, you know, have to go through at least one appeal. It still could be denied under the regulations, but I think you have a better case, a stronger case.
So it's risky then. Well, you know, but it can be done.
It can be done.
And what would you do? You would do that before you got married and try that and see if it works out, or do you get married beforehand? And, I mean, how does that appeal process work if you're looking to get a prenuptial approved?
Oh, no. It's not that you'd be looking to get the prenuptial approved. You'd be looking to get the future MassHealth application approved.
Oh, okay.
And I'm always looking now about how would that process look down the road. What verifications do I need to be prepared to submit with an application for this couple?
I see.
So it's a stronger application. If it's a second marriage and they didn't have a prenup and they always had their assets together, it's not a strong case to say, well, don't treat us as spouses.
Gotcha.
Okay, but if they've always kept it separate and they had a prenuptial agreement, a contract that was based on, those verifications are much stronger, and that argument not to be treated as a spouse is stronger.
Yep. So, again, another case of if someone's thinking of getting married,
right,
it's good to stop in and see you beforehand.
Absolutely.
Anyway, and just kind of say, okay, we're thinking of getting married. You know, she's got this amount, I've got this amount. We've never been married. They're separate now. How do we address that down the road if we were thinking that one of us might need nursing home care? And I guess everyone really should almost assume that they're going to need nursing home care.
Yeah,
unfortunately.
You have to plan for the worst. You
right,
really
exactly
do.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
That pre-planning thing. All right. We're going to go to break. When we come back, you are going to be a featured speaker at an upcoming event in May. You're going to run a workshop, and we're going to talk about that workshop so people can come listen to you in person.
Okay.
So stay tuned.
Do you think your driving skills are not what they should be? Let Braintree Rehabilitation Hospital help you decide. We can assess your driving skills and focus on your safety. Our two-part driving evaluation program has been developed to provide assessment of individuals with a variety of disabilities. Braintree Rehab is always here to help you reach your full potential and independence. For additional information or to schedule an appointment, call 781-348-4017. That's 781-348-4017.
The Elder Law Office of Judith M. Flynn is devoted solely to elder and disability law and estate planning. If you've been thinking about getting a legal checkup, don't delay any longer. Don't wait for a crisis. Attorney Flynn will do a thorough assessment of your personal situation and develop a comprehensive plan that addresses all of your elder law needs. Don't lose your hard-earned assets to the cost of long-term care. Call Elder Law Attorney Judy Flynn at 781-681-6638.
All right, welcome back. We are speaking to Elder Law Attorney Judith M. Flynn. I'm your host, Greg Perrell, here on South Shore Senior News Radio. And Judy, you had a couple more items you wanted to discuss before we moved on to the workshop topic that you'll be giving in May. And you wanted to talk about the importance if someone is going through this whole divorce process or getting remarried or whatever it might be, to come in and talk about some documents.
That's right. It's an important time to revise all of the estate planning documents. Disability documents like the health care proxy and durable power of attorney.
So,
typically, you've appointed your spouse to, you know, manage your affairs, take care of your health decisions. So that clearly, that's the time to change and appoint new surrogate decision makers.
Yeah.
And to revise the will to reflect how you want your estate distributed when you pass.
When you advise people about changing the designation on those documents, if they're older and they're getting remarried or going through a divorce, whatever it might be, I'm just curious, and I don't know if this is something you might do. Do you recommend that they select a person of a certain age? Like, if they say they're like 75 or 80 or older or whatever, and they're getting married, and their future spouse is the same age, do you recommend they do one of their children, or is it?
No,
How do they determine that?
It's not, again, not a clear-cut answer. It depends.
Mm-hmm.
If there's some issue with the health or the mental capacity, clearly that's not an appropriate appointment of the spouse, but in most cases, folks want their spouse to
right.
be the primary. The important thing is that you have suitable alternates named in the documents.
Oh, so you can have, like, my spouse first,
absolutely.
And then my son Jimmy, and then whatever?
That's right.
Okay.
So you take it, you know, probably two alternates.
Okay.
You can go as many as you want. But
oh, you can, okay.
And that way you've taken care of if something happens to the spouse or, you know, if Jimmy's on vacation somewhere, somebody can step in.
Okay. right. So those are the types of documents that they should also, when they go through this process, come in and talk to the law attorney about. So that's good
Absolutely.
To know. All right. On May 10th, South Shore Elder Services is going to have their 6th annual Aging is Everyone's Future Conference.
That's right.
And that's at Lombardo's in Randolph. It's always a fantastic event. They have a nice display of vendors there talking about senior care services and products that people
can... It's a great event, yep.
Yeah, it's very nice. And Lombardo's is a great setting, but I think this is a real nice addition to the program this year. You're actually going to be offering a workshop earlier in the evening.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about it.
I'll be conducting a legal workshop. It's my understanding that my workshop will be limited to, I think they said 50 attendees.
Oh, okay.
So,
yeah, and they usually get 200 or 300 people there.
That's right.
Yeah.
So my workshop will be limited to 50, I think they said. And I'll be covering things like basic estate planning documents, the considerations you should have as far as, you know, what you need in place and how you select appropriate agents, asset protection and Medicaid planning, guardianship, veterans benefits. I mean, I'm going to highlight a bit of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm working on a resource guide type thing that or a summary booklet of these topics that I'll be giving to the attendees of the workshop.
Oh, nice. Now, is there a fee to attend the workshop?
I think not for the workshop itself, but I think to attend the conference, they ask for a donation of, is it $15?
That's correct, yep.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's part of
the
workshop's nothing additional then?
As far as I know, no.
Okay.
But in that, we should say that contribution helps to fund these great programs that South Shore Elder Services
That's right.
has.
Yeah, actually, I think the funds from the program go to the Special Needs Fund,
right.
which is really a wonderful thing because it supplies the necessities of life to seniors in the community that can't afford them.
Right, you know. And who would not be able to stay at home without such services? So
that's right, yeah. So take us through kind of the beginning of the presentation. The first part, you're going to be talking about the legal documents. Now, you said health care, proxy.
Double power of attorney, living wills.
Yep.
Wills with testamentary trusts are a big thing that people need to know. You know, if you have seniors.
What is that?
Well, seniors typically have sweetheart wills. I leave everything to my beloved spouse.
Yep.
But those are not the best thing to have later in life. If we change that to a simple will with testamentary trust, that's a way to potentially protect the entire estate from the cost of nursing home care. It's too long of a topic for right now, but
yeah,
it's a very
yeah.
simple strategy.
Yeah, well, it sounds like it's well worth coming to. And how long do you think it's going to be? 30 minutes, 45 minutes
Jeez,
or so?
They told me, Greg, I have no idea.
Okay.
Whatever they tell me to do, I'll...
So you can fill the air time then, right?
Yeah, I can fill the air. We have plenty of things to cover.
All right.
But probably not enough time so for everything, so that's why I want to give this guide to the attendees.
Well, I think it's going to be enough time for them to get a flavor of what they need to be thinking about, and then they can come and see you or see, you know, whatever they want to do to see an elder law attorney, because I think it's an important thing.
That's
and every
right.
time you come on, the importance of doing that gets demonstrated more clearly. All right, we're going to go to break. We're going to come back. We're going to let people find out how to get in touch with you. Then we'll be done.
Great.
Perhaps you're familiar with the stately brick building in the heart of Weymouth Landing, but maybe you don't know about the exceptional level of skilled nursing care going on inside. This is Scott Wally for the Royal Health Group and Royal Braintree Rehabilitation and Nursing Center, where innovative health care is our mission and our promise. Royal Braintree features an expanded Alzheimer's care program under the direction of one of the region's leading experts. There is a better way, and Maureen Bradley's innovative approach gives our residents every opportunity for the very best quality of life possible. At Royal Braintree, our coordinated care program ensures a constant flow of information to your own doctor and family members at every stage of your rehabilitation in our popular terrace unit. And Royal Braintree is the first in the area to offer high-definition telemedicine technology, which enables a physician to be in direct visual contact with a patient at any time of day or night. Call us for a visit or for more information at 781-848-3678. That's 781-848-3678. Or visit us on the web at royalhealthgroup.com. Royal Braintree Rehabilitation and Nursing Center, ensuring the royal standard of excellence from our family to yours.
All right, we are back. And, Judy, we have 2 seconds, so give people the information on how they can get in touch with you.
Okay, the office number is 781-681-6638. The website is thelegalcheckup.com.
Okay, good. And they can call you even before the workshop and start talking about some of the things that we discussed this morning
That's
and prepare
right.
for the future. All right, well, thanks for coming in again. It's
thanks
always great.
Thanks for having me, Greg.
All right.